Hi and welcome. It's April's edition of Focation Cast.
And this is what's coming up on this month's episode.
I think God is far more concerned with who we are as opposed to what we do. And every time I would step on the ice, I was placing top 8 in the world.
We, going into that race, were down to either make the final, let alone to beat the USA. We had a deficit of 11 metres to claw back.
And this prayer rose up out of my heart. And I said, Lord, what do you want for me? Lord, what do you want for me? Why would God have blessed me with these, this passion, this ability for sport, only to take it away? What was I going to do now in life? But that season, I qualified for the most elite American speed skating team and started traveling all throughout the world on the World Cup circuit.
The only way you can find out what you enjoy doing or if you've got a talent is by trying things.
And out of nowhere, I heard these words in my heart, you're going to be a sister. And this peace and this joy just came rushing through me.
But the realization, standing on top of that Olympic rostrum, that we've created one of the biggest shock defeats in Olympic history.
I'm really discovering more and more that it's all about Jesus. It's all about His working in our life. It's all about being an instrument of His love.
So it's a big time. Happy Easter to you all. Hope it's been a great one, a fab one. You're listening to April's Vocation Cast, and I'm Frankie Mulgrew.
Hi, and my name is Dan Fitzpatrick, and we are both training to be Catholic priests at Oscott College Seminary in Birmingham in the UK. It's April 2012, and on the 29th day of this month, we celebrate Vocation Sunday, a time when our church celebrates vocation and encourages each and every one of us to discover the plan that God has for us. Now, the church teaches that there are 4 vocations that everyone is called to, and these can be priesthood, married life, single life, or the consecrated life. However, there are certain ways that each of us called to carry out our own vocation.
Now this summer, as I'm sure you'd be more than aware, London is hosting the Olympics and Paralympic Games. So we wanted to make this episode special. We wanted to highlight it and to concentrate and celebrate those people who believe God has called to be Olympians and Paralympians.
And so we have interviewed Jason Gardner, MBE. Jason is one of the UK's all-time great sprinters.
Yes, indeed. He's in a light club, an elite club even there. Jason Gardner is in...
He is quite light as well.
I picked him up. He's not all that heavy. He's one of the very few people in the whole world that has actually achieved running the 100 metres in less than 10 seconds.
Yes, and we also have Steph Reed, the Paralympic runner and long jumper.
And stick around for her story because it is truly quite extraordinary the way that God worked in her life through such adversity and calamity.
Yeah, and first, we've got Sister Catherine Holm.
Yes, indeed. Sister Catherine is a Franciscan sister up for renewal based in Leeds, in the UK. Before finding her vocation as a Franciscan sister, she was a world-class speed skater in the United States.
Sister Catherine competed in the Winter Olympics in 1998. And now she shares her vocation story with us, from Olympic speed skater to religious sister.
Well, I grew up in a Catholic home just with my mother, and she was an Olympic speed skater and Olympic speed skating coach. So she has 4 Olympic medals and coached 3 Olympic teams. So very naturally, I grew up in the sport of speed skating. But when I was 16 years old, she had the idea to send my cousin and I on a pilgrimage to Fatima, and it was there that I had the powerful experience of receiving my call to be a sister. And it was the first day that we were there walking through the shrine, and out of nowhere I heard these words in my heart, you're going to be a sister. And this peace and this joy just came rushing through me, which was so powerful. And it was also there that my faith just really deepened in the true presence of Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. So it was a very powerful, life-changing time. I went home from that and asked the Blessed Mother to pray for my speed skating career. And prior to that, I was competing against other girls my own age, you know, teenage girls, at an international level. But that season, I qualified for the most elite American speed skating team and started traveling all throughout the world on the World Cup circuit. And every time I would step on the ice, I was placing top 8 in the world. And then the following season, I qualified for the Winter Olympic Games in Japan, where I placed 6th in the 3,000 meters and 7th in the 5,000 meters. So it was a very exciting time for me, a very incredible time, but I could see in a lot of ways that I knew that I wasn't going to stay in the sport forever, that I wasn't going to do it as a career, and I didn't want to do it as a career. So I decided to retire at the age of 17 from speed skating. So I graduated, went on to get a degree in art from the Art Institute of Chicago. I studied photography. But I didn't have any Catholic friends or any Christian friends while I was studying. And I was really making a lot of decisions that were not the best decisions, and in a lot of ways was turning my back on the Lord. And so much so that really when I graduated, I'd completely forgotten about that call to be a sister. So I went home to live with my mother after graduating, not really sure what was the next step for me. Kind of losing my passion in a lot of different areas. My mother was going to pray every day at the church. I wasn't so interested in going to do that with her, but she invited me to come with her one weekend to pray the rosary outside of an abortion clinic. And it was there that I met this group of young people, a group called Crossroads, that were doing a pro-life walk across America. So they were walking from coast to coast, 3,000 miles for the pro-life movement. And I had never before seen such joyful young people living their faith. And I was so taken aback by it and so attracted to them, to their witness and their joy. And I sat there looking at them thinking, what is missing in my life that they have? What is bringing them so much joy? And I knew, it was by the grace of God, I knew that it was their love for Jesus. And so I went home that night, and I was laying in bed, and this prayer rose up out of my heart. And I said, Lord, what do you want for me? Lord, what do you want for me? Because really, up until that time, I had never invited the Lord into my life in that way, never asked him what he really desired for my life. And I really felt in my heart that I was meant to join this group of young people that were walking across America. And I always say that the Lord, he uses our personalities to draw us to himself, because I'm a very impulsive person, spontaneous acting person. So I joined them on the walk. I met them on a Friday, joined them on Sunday, started walking across America with 12 strangers living in a caravan. But it was a completely life-changing summer for me, first of all because of their witness of living a Christian life and just living with people who were living the Christian life, but also through prayer and the sacraments, going to Mass every day, making a good confession at one point during the walk. But that walk also, we took a detour through Toronto, Canada for World Youth Day in 2002. And that also was a powerful experience, seeing the church so vibrant and young, and also experiencing just the presence of the Holy Father, Blessed John Paul II, was an incredible experience for me and just really lifted my heart with great love for the church through the course of that week. But also I met the Franciscans of the Renewal. And the same kind of attraction that I felt in my heart for the Crossroads walkers, I felt that kind of stirring in my heart for the Franciscans, and really, really could see myself doing that and giving my life to the Lord in a radical way. But really through that summer, the Lord was just purifying my heart in prayer and through the sacraments to really respond to that call and to remember that call that I received when I was 16. So I joined them a year later in 2003. I've been living in England for the past 2.5 years in the Diocese of Leeds. But in 2010, I made my final profession of vows, where I gave my whole life to Jesus. And what a gift and a grace it is. And I just can't thank God enough for all that he's done in my life. I'm really discovering more and more that it's all about Jesus. It's all about his working in our life. It's all about being an instrument of his love. And it's just beautiful to be his bride and to belong completely to him in that way, and to really see myself as a spouse, as a bride, as a spiritual mother with the Lord. I can't imagine giving my heart to anyone else in that way. And so I know that this is what God has called me to, because it's all that I desire. It's all I desire. And being able to be that that testimony, that witness of the kingdom, I think is the greatest gift, and to really be that witness that Jesus is all that we need. We don't need any more. We don't need anything else. And I walk around every day as a billboard for Jesus. And so it's very, very powerful and a beautiful gift.
So a big thank you to Sister Catherine Holland for sharing her vocation story with us. If you like what she said and you want to hear more from her, she's going to be speaking at a vocation festival which is happening this July right here at Oscott College where we're speaking to you from. It's a weekend festival, and if you want to know more about that, you can go to invocation.org.uk. Also, if you want to know more about the Franciscan Sisters of Renewal, you can go to their website, which is www.franciscansisterscfr.com.
And we also must point out at this stage that we actually recorded these interviews at a very special event that happened recently. It was a Flame National Youth Congress held at Wembley Stadium. Me and Dan were both there, and it was an incredible experience, really, because there was just basically over 8,000 young Catholics from all over the UK had gathered together to literally rock Wembley, you know, to praise and worship God and just to kind of be there, the dancing, the singing. It was an incredible atmosphere. Dan, how was it for you?
It was fantastic. It was great to be there. The whole seminary, obviously, we were all there on coaches down to Wembley Arena. It was fantastic just to see so many young Catholics and to see so many from my diocese as well, the Diocese of Hexham and Newcastle. The Diocese and Youth Ministry team had chartered a train. They had a train which they called the Flame Train, which went from Newcastle Station all the way down to London. So it was great to see all of those, see a lot of support from my own diocese.
Yeah, and it really was a blessed day. And I think for me, it gave our young people a real identification of what it is to be Catholic, really. You know, that they are called to greatness. I think the quote of St. Catherine of Siena was there that day, if you are what you should be, you'll set the whole world ablaze. And I think that was the kind of real theme of the day, really. And it was beautiful to see, really, for witnesses of the people, but also as well, there was some real kind of special quiet time of Blessed Sacrament at the end of the day as well. So let's hope this is a sign for things to come, you know, these events and such big occasions where young people are really encouraged to practice their faith.
It was while we were at the Flame National Youth Congress that we caught up with Jason Gardner, MBE, who was speaking to the young people there. Jason achieved one of his ultimate ambitions at the 2004 Athens Olympic Games by winning gold in the men's 4x100 metre relay. He is a member of the very select sub-10-second club for 100 metres, with a personal best of 9.98 seconds. He was awarded an MBE for services to athletics and has been made a Freeman of the City of Bath.
He told us before the interview that his faith in God is personal to him, but he does give us an insight into how his faith has inspired his vocation. Jason, how did you find your own personal vocation?
Yeah, that was quite straightforward. It's not rocket science, because I've been given opportunities, and I think that's what I like to see and why I try and work with young children, to encourage them to make the most of the opportunities available. The only way you can find out what you enjoy doing or if you've got a talent is by trying things. And sometimes I've got to, you know, practice what I preach, you know, because I think as adults we can all kind of shy away from doing something which may kind of expose that we're not good at something or we're not cool. But I got the opportunities to run and to do competition, and I went to good scores where we went to compete against other schools, so I realised my talent expanded beyond my school gates. But then I realised when I went to my first English Schools Championships at 16 years of age, I wasn't as good as I thought I was. But right there in that disappointment was the turning point for me. It was a tipping point, because I'd either give up and do something else, or I fighted to protect my dream. And what I had to do was look at my areas of weaknesses and improve upon them. That's why I had to go and work with a better coach, better training partners, and work really hard to come back to be better. And once I learned that formula, I was able to apply it throughout my whole life. I still continue to do so. And what I recognise from my industry, with the very best performers, they're all talented, but talent alone won't get you to the top. You need all those other, I guess, performance fundamentals. Surrounding yourself with talent, you know, working as part of a team, having the ability and the tenacity to bounce back from disappointments or adversity.
Could you maybe talk a bit about how being in Catholic school inspired you and give you the motivation to do what you went on to do?
I went to a Catholic school, St John's in Bath, and it was quite evident from being, even at such an early age, you know, there was a lot of, you know, good, I guess, values, principles, which underpinned everything that was going on within the school. So, you know, I think for me, I was given fortunately, I was given an opportunity of doing sport, and along with lots of other opportunities, but I excelled in sport, and that's that. I guess that talent was identified and encouraged. And I do look back and refer back to my early school days, and certainly the, you know, in terms of being able to behave yourself and discipline, I've been very fortunate. I met some wonderful people, and I hark back to the school and experiences, and to the nun who really did encourage me. But I'm still in contact to today. But I didn't see this lady, the nun, for 27 years.
Wow.
Thought she was long gone. And the church picked up a newspaper article when I was talking about this nun, and he got in contact with me, and would you believe it, we kind of connected again, and she's fighting fit, she's just the same kind of bubbly character, still inspiring other young people.
Yeah,
very special person.
So Jason, you got to Athens 2004 for the Olympics, and you won that gold medal.
Yeah.
When you were presented with it, and all that hard work, all that dedication was paid off, how did it feel?
Well, I dreamed of standing on that rostrum in Olympic arena. We going into that race, were down to either make the final, let alone to beat the USA. We had a deficit of 11 metres to claw back. And the belief from then, the camaraderie amongst our team that evening was truly spectacular. But the realisation, standing on top of that Olympic rostrum, that we probably, you know, created one of the biggest shock defeats in Olympic history, even to this day, it's still quite hard to come to grips with. You know, I'm a normal guy. I'm just same as everybody else, who just found something he really liked doing and worked really hard at it. And it's sometimes when I look at my own sporting CV, I can't quite believe it's me. So and I have total admiration and appreciation for anybody that excels in what they do. But I had a good upbringing, and I had, you know, the Catholic school which I attended, and I believe I could probably believe more. I think sometimes we can lose our ways a little bit, but I think it's always nice to come back to that belief and to, you know, bring you back into line.
Thank you to Jason Gardner for sharing with us his story. If you want to know more about Jason Gardner, he's got a website. It's www.jasongardner.co.uk. That's Gardner, G-A-R-D-E-N-E-R.
And now it's time for this month's reflection. We're looking at Eric Liddell. Eric Liddell was a Scottish athlete and a Christian missionary who inspired the motion picture Chariots of Fire.
At the age of 22, Eric Liddell entered the 1924 Paris Olympics. But because the heats for his event, the 100 metres, were on a Sunday, he believed they clashed with his Christian beliefs, and so he radically switched and trained for a different event, the 400 metres, in which, astonishingly, he won the gold medal. Timothy chapter 4 verse 7-8 says, I have fought the good fight to the end, I have run the race to the finish, I have kept the faith. All there is to come for me now is the crown of uprightness, which the Lord, the upright judge, will give to me on that day. After the Olympics, Eric left behind the fame and glory of athletics and went out to serve as a Christian missionary in China. However, this became a dangerous role with the advent of World War II, and when the Japanese invaded, he was incarcerated in Wisen internment camp, where he tragically died in 1945. In 2008, the Chinese authorities revealed Liddell had been given a pardon and the opportunity to leave the camp, but he decided instead to sacrifice his place for the release of a pregnant woman. According to a fellow missionary, Little's last words were, "It's complete surrender," in reference to how he had given his life to his God.
A thank you to John Martin for reading out that reflection for us.
Next up is Steph Reed.
Steph Reed is a Paralympic sprinter who competes for Great Britain in the 100 and 200 metres and the long jump. Steph competed in the 2008 Paralympics for Canada and won a bronze medal in the women's T44 200 metres.
Switching allegiance, Steph began competing for Great Britain in 2010 and broke three world records in the space of 2 months. She's Britain's only female amputee sprinter and a strong multi-medal prospect for a London 2012.
You may recognise Steph from the Olympic posters if you live in London. She's on a few of those around the city. So we're joined now by Steph Reed on VocationCast. Steph, thanks for joining us. Could you just tell our listeners a bit about who you are?
Sure. My name is Steph Reed, and I compete on the GB Paralympic squad in track and field. And I compete in the 100 metres, the 200 metres, and the long jump. And I'm hoping to do so at the Paralympics in London this year.
Steph, when someone has a vocation, why should they never give up? I mean, obviously, I'm asking you that question because you had quite a big trauma when you were in your teenage years, but through that all you managed to come back and discover what God had in store for you. Maybe you could just say a few words about that, really.
So I grew up quite a sporty person, and my dream in life, my goal was to play professional rugby, play at the international level, and things were looking really good, and it looked like that was going to start taking place. And then when I was 16, I was involved in a boating accident. I got caught in propellers and had huge lacerations to my lower back and right leg, and unfortunately the end result was amputation of part of my right leg. And as you can imagine, that was incredibly devastating, and I just felt really lost and just confused as to why would God have blessed me with these this passion and this ability for sport only to take it away. What was I going to do now in life? And obviously, you know, it was several months of mourning and searching, but I eventually came to realize that, I could have lost every limb on my body, and it still would not have changed the fact that I was a competitive and determined person. And even though sport at that time wasn't an option for me, I can still apply that to any area in my life. And so I just decided, well, I'm going to be the best student that I can be. And so I worked really hard at my academics and wound up winning a full academic scholarship to study biochemistry at university, and just started competing on things like the trivia team and the math team and the chess club, and there were other outlets for it. And God was just really, really faithful, and I just was able to find fulfillment in what I was doing. And then as I started university a few years later, I ended up watching a track and field practice, and I had never done track before, but I had always been quite fast. I was the fastest person on the field, and I thought, well, I wonder how fast I can still run. And I just started off quite slow. I just trained one or two times a week, and a few years down the road, I was training full-time and realizing that this was actually an option to compete internationally as a parallel track and field athlete. And so I think what kills me is just the irony of the whole thing, that I would just be given back what I wanted, and the fact that I can be a professional runner minus 1 foot. I just think it's really funny. I think God has a good twisted sense of humor, and I love where I'm at. And even if this hadn't been an option, I still would have had an awesome life and been happy.
Fantastic.
What would you say to other people who are trying to discover where God wants them in life, and or maybe struggling?
I think the best thing, the first thing you have to do is, God puts you in your context, in your community, for a reason. Your purpose lies within that context. Start with the opportunities that are available right in front of you. I think people often feel like there has to be this, crowning moment where the heavens part and God speaks to you. But the reality is we already know what God wants us to do. You know, God wants us to love him. He wants us to love other people. He wants us to be faithful stewards. I think God is far more concerned with who we are as opposed to what we do. I think the question of what, God, should I do this or should I do this? His answer is going to be yes. I don't think that's the priority. I think the priority is the attitude that you take into it. I think God gives us so much latitude, and you know, we can be faithful stewards doing just about anything. Everything he created in creation was good, and I think it's amazing that we have so much choice. But my best advice is take a look at your context and go from there.
Steph, thank you for joining us, and our prayers are with you for this summer.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So a big thank you to Steph Reed, and her website details are www.stephaniereed.co.uk, and there's also a link there if you want to follow her for Twitter.
Yeah, and just to say that this episode is all about Vocation Sunday, and we've been interviewing people who are living out their vocation in the sport and arena, who are going to be competing in the Olympics. But to say that we're all called to live out our vocation in our own unique way, whatever that may be. If it is in sport, then that's fantastic, but there are many other different ways we can live out our vocation. Me and Frankie are training to be priests. We feel like God's calling us to live our vocations out as priests. But there are many other ways to live our vocation, so pray about it. Ask God what he is calling you to do. And if you want any more information about different ways that people do live out their vocation, you can check out the UK Vocation website, which is www.ukvocation.org.uk. And our own website has some links on there that you can go to. Our website is www.vocationcast.org. And that's all we've got time for.
Yes, indeed. Down for this month.
Yeah.
But next month.
Next month should be a very special episode.
Well done, pray tell.
Next week I'm off to Rome, and I have a big interview booked in.
It's the Pope. You've done it. You've nailed it. The interview of all interviews.
Well, you'll just have to find out. Find out who I'm interviewing next month.
But we better just say it isn't the Pope. But it still is very exciting.
Well, it could be the Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah, so listen up for that. That'll be next month on the May podcast. And to play us out is the anthem, which was sung at the Flame Congress that we've been talking about.
Yeah, it's a great track.
Here it is. It's called Flame. And if you want more information about it, you can go to the Flame website, which is cymfed.org.
So here it is with Edwin Fawcett.
There is a story that tells of the glory that will come to those who trust their Maker's heart. Whoa. Restoring justice by unselfish service is the peaceful plan in which we play our part. Whoa. If God is for us, who can be against us? No, the crown we're fighting for won't fade away. Together day by day, whoa. We did not receive the spirit of fear,
spirit
but
of fear.
Of power and love and self-control. We will never be ashamed of our faith, for it's only in God we reach our goal.
So let the flame burn.
Pressing onwards, I will.
strength to